Our guest today rose to the rank of Lieutenant General in the U.S. Army. Now in retirement, she's fighting a different kind of battle, making sure no child in her community goes hungry. We'll talk about her remarkable career, her transition out of uniform, and the nonprofit she founded, and her work when mentoring the next generation of leaders.
Welcome to Your Next Mission, the nation's number one video podcast on military transition and leadership. We tell the stories of those who served in the past and those who are serving today. From transition and financial wellness, VA benefits to mental health, we cover issues facing veterans, active military, and their families. Now, here's your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Thanks for joining us. Before we get started, though, I'd like to thank our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, whose members are the mission, Purdue Global, where you can start your comeback, and USA, where we take care of our own, with additional sponsorship from Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision. Together, they make your next mission happen. They love our veterans and families, and if you listen to the show anytime, I always say this, we love them too, or I love them too. Now I'm excited to introduce today's guest, Lieutenant General retired Donna W. Martin. Over a distinguished Army career, she served as the Commanding General of the U.S. Army Criminal Investigation Division, Inspector General of the United States Army. Today, she's a founder of the president of the Securing Our Children's Future, a nonprofit fighting childhood food insecurity in Virginia, Hampton Roads. She also is the chairperson of the ROCS Incorporated and a prominent nonprofit military officer organization dedicated to the mentorship, professional development, scholarship, and networking for U.S. Armed Forces officers and Department of Defense civilians. Ma'am, welcome to the show!
Sergeant Major, thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, it's great to have you on the show. I always like talking to Army people because I'm just pumped up anyway. And, you know, I know your husband's got that Marine Corps plaque back there. I love the Marine Corps, but talking to Army people just makes my day. So, hey, before we get started, though, I'd like you to take a minute or so. Just tell the audience just a little bit about yourself.
So, first of all, I'm just honored to be here. I am a native of Yorktown, Virginia. I grew up there and stayed in Virginia until I went to college at Old Dominion University. And I didn't leave Virginia until I joined the Army. And my first assignment was Germany. A long way from Virginia, but I rose through the ranks. I was platoon leader all the way through three-star general. It's been an amazing career. It's been so much fun. I ended my career, as you know, as the Inspector General of the Army, the 67th Inspector General of the Army, and then had no other jobs I wanted, so I retired.
Well, you know, I was always amazed I even got promoted, so I stayed as long as I could. Hey, you retired in March 2025, and, you know, what you just talked about, you had a remarkable career, and a lot of people, you know, they struggle when they transition out of uniform. What was it like for you?
So I struggled too.
It's hard to believe.
I knew more about what I didn't want to do than I wanted to do. It's that unknown that really makes you struggle. And so I just knew that I had to do something, but my son has grown, and he's not at home. And I just knew that I needed to find my purpose. I needed to find something that kept me busy. So I adopted two puppies.
I heard them barking a little while ago, that's for sure.
and I took an obedience course, and I'd probably be better training your dogs than training mine because they don't listen to me at all. So I did that, but I knew, you know, there's something else out there that I needed to do. And there were a couple things that I was really passionate about. And one of them is kids. One of them is education. And then mentoring. And I am a huge proponent of mentorship, always have been. But I knew that there was a prominent belief that I had that we as a society need to start mentoring earlier. You know, to go to a high school kid and start talking to them about what you want to be, in my opinion, it's just too late. And so I wanted to start earlier, and I want to start in the elementary schools. And this was how, part of why this nonprofit was birthed.
You know, one of the things, I'm glad you brought that up, a couple of things here. One is, I have a dog, I have a Shih Tzu, and it trained itself. When I got this dog, I hadn't been there long, and sitting by the door, I said, well, okay, maybe I'll go outside. I went to the bathroom. So it trained itself. It won't go in the garage. And every time it has to go to the bathroom, just go sits by the door. Doesn't say anything. And if you don't mess with it too much, she'll start barking a little bit. And then you got to really run, because she's going to make a mess if you don't go. The other thing is, I want to tell you, is that I always tell everybody, you should have two or three mentors, maybe more. Get advice from one, maybe advice on a different subject from another one. But mentorship is really a great idea. And I wish the military did a lot more of that, especially when you get out of the service. Now, having said that, I think that a lot of veterans and retirees, now like yourself, they ought to use us on people getting ready their transition. They ought to have a list of people and say, hey, I'll help one person or two people when they're transitioning out of the military. Because that's a tough transition. And you didn't talk about it, but I know I struggled a little bit. I'm not sure I was depressed. I probably didn't work for 3 or 4 months, and then I just threw myself into work. And I think sometimes you have veterans that get out to just sit on the couch and don't do anything. So it's just tough. It's just tough for them, that's for sure.
It is. And my community is very, very supportive here. And so that helped my transition. I jumped right into my church because, number one, my mother always told me that it's wonderful that you go and you serve your country. But when you're done, you come home and you serve your community. So that's always been something I knew that I had to do. And so that's why it was a little bit easier finding the service route for me. I had interviews with a couple of companies, but it didn't move me. And your second transition, your second half of your career has to be about what makes you passionate. And so it wasn't about going back to work for me. It was about finding how I could impact my community.
Well, the other thing is fitting into your community. Uh-huh. Because, you know, I'm sure you understand, you don't speak the same language. No. You know what I mean? No. You don't. No. And you really, I mean, I know when I start talking to people, I'd say, hey, military stayed about 36 years. And they see, yeah, that's nice. And they turn and go the other way. And say, oh, I don't get around this nut, you know, so.
Right.
In fact, a lot of people that come on the show talk about just trying to find their tribe, where they fit in, what group of people you feel comfortable with. And I don't know, but I'm sure you have a tribe of people, or maybe officers or non-commissioned officers or whatever in your community that you probably feel more comfortable with.
Actually, it's my church family.
Are they military?
Some are. My pastor is Air Force, but he's a retired Air Force officer. And so...
Do you speak different language than the Air Force people? Wait a minute. A little bit.
I think when you talk about leadership, though, it's the same language.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, establishing his vision, I've been instrumental in just helping him help our church move forward. And so that's been very good for me. Because it keeps me very busy. I do all the financial management now in our church, and I run a couple of our ministries. And so I found my tribe. I found the people who really make being impactful important. And so I didn't have a problem with that. I grew up here. And so a lot of the people that I grew up with are still here. Now, we do talk a different language. That's okay. We've always been friends, and that's important.
I've got to tell you, I love telling this story. I had a couple of things. One is that I had a Bible when I was in Vietnam. Mm. And, you know, they give you this little pocket Bible, and you put it and you take it with you. And I got to be honest, I certainly believe in God. I think everybody that goes to war always gets closer to God, because I've said it a whole lot of times, God, if you just get me out of here, I'll never do it again. I've said that quite a few times. But I had this Bible that I actually put in a 50 caliber can, opened it up, and I was there probably, I guess, a few weeks. I'm not sure what the length of time, and I opened it up, and on the second page, there was a blood print in that Bible. Now, that Bible had never been opened up, as far as I know. I'm sure, evidently it had, and so I kept that Bible as a as a good luck charm, if you may. And I put it in my 50-gallon can everywhere I'd go. I'd look in there, and I always made sure it was with me. So I stayed about 11 and a half months, and they, fly out in a helicopter and say, "Hey, Tilly, it's time to go, get your stuff." And so I grabbed all my stuff and got that 50-caliber can and got ready to leave, and the Bible was gone.
Mm.
And so I'm 18 years old, and I think to myself, man, it's God was with me for that time in Vietnam. And my platoon was overran, 20 wounded and 7 killed.
Wow.
So you sort of start piecing things together, and I really believe that in my lifetime that God's put a hand on me a lot of times and pushed me in different directions and said, no, don't do that. No, that's not a good idea. Of course, the other side, the devil's over there saying, wait a minute, come on back here.
Absolutely.
So I don't know. Hey, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about that nonprofit you founded and the children's feeding. So, I think that's a great topic. So stay right there. I know you're a good soldier. You'll stay right there. I'll be right back. This is Your Next Mission video podcast with me, your host, Jack Gil Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. If you're enjoying this discussion, I know you are, because we're talking about leadership. We're talking about transition. We're talking about food insecurities. Please, like us. Click on that subscribe button below. Be sure to click on the bell to receive notifications of our upcoming video podcast releases. I'll be right back after a word from my presenting sponsors.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, proudly presented by Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Their members are the mission. Purdue Global. You're ready for a comeback, and with Purdue Global, you can do more than take classes. You can take charge of your story, of your career, of your life. Earn a degree you can be proud of and get an education employers respect. Start your comeback at purdueglobal.edu. And USAA.
A century ago, our founders made a promise to always take care of their own. That promise is still at the heart of everything we do and why our members know we'll do what's right. Because at USAA, we take care of our own.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're talking with Lieutenant General retired Donna W. Martin, founder of the President of Securing Our Children's Future. Before we get back to our discussion, I'm going to let you know about a way to support the work we're doing here on behalf of the veterans and family here at the American Freedom Foundation. If you have a used vehicle you're planning on getting rid of, or some property you don't have any plans for, you can donate it. Visit our website at AmericanFreedomFoundation.org/donate and click on that vehicle donation button or that home donation button to support our work. We really would appreciate your support. Ma'am, tell us about securing our children's future. What is it and what inspired it? I mean, that's a great thing to do, but what inspired you to do that?
You know, Sergeant Major, I came back and I just remember the stories my mother used to tell me. My mother would tell me these stories. She, in her later years, she passed away in 2019. But in her later years, she was a cafeteria worker, and she was that lunch lady that sat at the table while the teachers did their thing, and then they came back to get their classes. And then there were so many times when she would tell me that kids would come up to her and they would ask her for extra food. And she was like, okay, here's a sandwich or here's an extra piece of fruit or whatever. But she wanted to dig a little deeper and find out, like, why are you asking for more food? And as she got closer to these children, she realized that it was because they were going to go home on Friday and they may not have another meal until they come back to school for breakfast on Monday morning. And so she would always tell me these stories, and she actually even made this apron. She had a basic apron, and she would just sew these big pockets on it. And it was the ugliest thing you've ever seen. But the different sizes, it was so that she could put different food items in this apron. And she would go to the bus stop when these kids were leaving school on Friday. And she and the kids would just discreetly come up to her and she would hand them extra food, extra snacks, extra whatever she had until that whole apron was just empty. And she would continue to tell me these stories and it broke my heart. And so here it is in 2025, I retire, I come back and I'm going, is that still the same condition? Like, is it still this bad? And so I started looking at the statistics locally. And, you know, across the United States, 13.7% of U.S. households experience food insecurity. That's 18.3 million people. And so, you know, in the military, when you see a problem, you know, our very instinct is to go after it. Yeah, to go after it. So over 1 million people in Virginia face food insecurity. And what really got me is that about 261,000 of those are children. So that's our future, right? I mean, how does a child achieve when they're hungry? They don't focus on reading. They don't focus on education. They don't focus on the things that make them great because they're hungry. And it seems like such a simple thing, but it's a huge problem. And so I just want to make an impact. And so that's how securing our children's future started. But I didn't know any of how to do this. But you know what? I found out. I got a mentor. And my mentor runs one of the largest food pantries in Northern Virginia. Her name is Dr. Vanessa Gaddis. So shout out to her for what she's doing in Prince William County.
All right.
And so she is a tremendous asset. And I would tell anybody that if you're starting a business and you don't have that background, you need a mentor. And so Vanessa really helped me get this thing off the ground. I didn't know about logos. I don't know about branding. And she walked me through those processes. And now we have this wonderful logo. We have a beautiful website. And so now we're on our way. And we've raised quite a bit of money just this summer, just by talking to people and just showing them what the problem is and how, as a community, we can address this. I won't be able to solve I won't be able to feed every child in Hampton Roads, but I'm going to do it as much as I can. And so I'm starting a sustainable model. I'm starting 25 backpacks was the first beginning, but now we've raised enough to do 75 backpacks for the 36 weeks of school. And so I've got three schools, and I'll deliver 25 backpacks to them every single week.
I got to tell you something. This has been years ago. I've been doing something like that for a long time. But years ago, I was watching television. I think it said 50 million, but I could be wrong. Or maybe it was 5 million. I'm not sure what the number, but it was a lot. But it was in the millions. And I was sitting there watching television, a commercial come up and it said, you know, 50 million or 5 million. I mean, it's 50 million worldwide. And coming on TV and said that. And I said to myself, nah, that can't be true. And, yeah, that's unbelievable. And there's a school a couple blocks away from me. So I walked up to that school. I said, hey, look, could I talk to somebody about, you know, about kids? And he's a principal. No, he's busy. Anyway, I finally got to a counselor. I said, is there kids here that go to school that go hungry during the weekends? And that's what I said. She said, yes. Well, tell me what you do. Well, how do you help them? See, well, we have the backpack program. I said, wow. And she, it really sort of broke my heart, you know, because I got some little kids, you know. So anyway, bottom line is, I won't tell you how much, but I bought some. I said, well, let me give you this money to help you out. So what I did was ended up buying turkeys. I think I bought like 35 turkeys, and I just let it go. So anyway, fast forward here a little bit. Last year, we were able to feed like 10 schools, I think it was, and you know, with the turkeys and stuff like that. And I got a group of people like yourself, and that's how it started a little small, and it just keeps growing. But it's unbelievable. It really is. It's a shame. So, you know, but anyway, that's my story. How does the backpack program, I'm actually working your community up there anyway.
It does. So what we do is, you know, I originally said, you know, I'm really active in my church. And so I run the women's ministry in our church. And so the women's ministry, we meet every Thursday, and we pack these 25 packs of really bags. And what happens is we deliver them to the schools on Friday, and then the schools discreetly identify these children, and they really just stuff these bags into their existing backpacks. And we do that. But there's other components to securing our children's future, too, that I should let you know about. And one of those is improving literacy rate. We want to tackle the food insecurity piece, but we also want to tackle literacy. And so, you know, our teachers work so very hard. But what we do is we supplement them. So we'll go into an elementary school room, classroom, and we'll read with kids. More importantly, we let them read to us. No judgment. Just reading out loud. And it's amazing. What we're trying to do is measure our impact by the improved literacy rates in the community. So we're going to focus on literacy too. And we're also, the third part of this is mentorship, because Sergeant Major, you and I both know that if you tell a kid what they can be, and then you give them the resources to be it, they can do it. All you got to do is ask a young kid to dream. What do you want to be is such a simple conversation to have with a young child. But what they tell you is amazing. I want to be an astronaut. I want to be a pilot. You know, right. They have great dreams. But if they're hungry, they can't focus. And so we want to take away one part of that equation that doesn't belong in a child's life, and that's hunger. And so we're going to tackle that real hard.
Well, I'm sure you're going to go nationwide here pretty quick. You know, you make me think about a lot of things. First of all, your mother was a great role model for you. Mm-hmm. You know, I was sitting there thinking, she led by example. Mm-hmm. She showed you what to do. The other thing I'll tell you that when I was growing up, I used to lag for quarters to get lunch money to eat. Mm-hmm. And it's been around for a long time, and I think we ignore it. But shame on us for not doing something about it. We need to do something about that. And we need to, as a nation, I know a lot of people do a lot of stuff, but really the way to fix it is right there in the local communities.
It is.
And, you know, if one person or two, if you can help one family or two families out, I mean, you're making a difference in the lives of so many people. And then the last thing is, I used to try to find out when I was still on active duty, how many active duty young soldiers, you know, go hungry or struggle a little bit. And I never could get any numbers of that. And I don't know, as the IG, if you ever looked into that problem, but we have those food securities, food problems within the military too, that we try to address. But we got to do a lot better job about educating young adults about life, I guess, in general.
I think you're right, Sergeant Major. You know, I'm very fortunate. I live right outside of Fort Eustis. And so lots of young military families. And one of the reasons, not just, you know, my mother was at Catherine G. Johnson, which is the name of the school now, but a lot of military families go to that school. So I think that kind of moved me in that direction as well, because I knew a lot of our military families our go-to Catherine G. Johnson. So that was good. But you talk about the community approach. You know, when I was little, I grew up, I was in one of those food insecure families. Now, I never knew what that was, because our mother moved heaven and earth to make sure that we had food. But it meant, you know, the difference between her having two jobs, you know, and not spending a lot of time with us, so that we could eat. But we were, as children, we were the recipients of those food baskets, that kindness from the community. And that's why I have to give back, because I have been so blessed over 36 years of service. And I tell you, if no one gave me a dime to donate toward this cause, I would do it anyway, just like you did. I would still do this, because this is what I've been called to do.
Yeah. Well, I think most military people, they want to continue to help in any way they can. They want to get out there now because they see what right looks like. That's you know what I mean? They've been all over the world. And they really, when you go all over the world and you see different countries and stuff, you come back to our country and say, hey, look, we've got the best country in the world. We just got to do a little bit of helping here a little bit. So let's help each other out. Oh, you know, bless you for what you're doing and keep it up. And I'll tell you this probably a couple of times before you get off the show. If I can ever help you, please let me know. We'd certainly love to help you in any way we can. We need to take another quick break. When I come back, I want to talk about how you're building this to last and your work of mentoring for the next generation of officers. So, ma'am, I know you're a good soldier. Stay right there. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Now, here's a word from one more of the organizations that helped make this show possible.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, brought to you in part by Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision.
Quality insurance will set you up for the rest of your life. And I think that's what Blue Cross and Blue Shield has demonstrated for decades.
It adds to your longevity of life because we want to be there for our loved ones. We want to be there for our family.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with Lieutenant General retired Donna W. Martin, founder and president of Securing Our Children's Future. Remember, this is your show. We know there's so many issues that directly affect you, and we want to address each and every one of them. So please, let me know what you'd like us to cover. You can leave me a message at 844-241-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. And guess what? I'll reach back out to you. Ma'am, you said sustainability is your biggest focus. How are you building this to last?
So, you know, Sergeant Major, the worst thing I think you can do is be so excited that you jump out there and you do great big things and you're not able to sustain them. So the worst thing I could do is get these kids excited about having these weekend backpacks and then not be able to fund it next year. So we're starting small. I'm working with local community leaders. I'm partnering with schools. I'm right now talking to the sheriff departments because that's my bailiwick, right? Talking to law enforcement. About
tell them you can help them out a little bit. There, you got the contacts.
That's right. So, and it is. It's all about the network because there's retired police officers who are military, and they're going, "Oh, we can talk to the former provost marshal general of the army," and so I'm using that connection, and so we have this program that I found out through my mentor that they do in Loudoun County called Stuff a Cruiser. And so I'm working with two police departments right now to continually stuff cruisers. They're willing to partner with us and park their cruisers outside of a supermarket. And then I have flyers and I have posters, and we're going to just work the crowd. Police officers are out there. The crime dogs are out there. You know, McGruff is out there. He's still a big hit out here. And so we're going to draw a crowd to help us fill these cruisers with canned goods, non-perishables, so that we can store them in our food pantry at our church. We are working other programs too. I'm working with the food banks here. They want to partner with us as well in order to just have a broader reach. And so sustainability is so important. And it is just one of the things I stay awake at night. I'm looking for that sponsor, that one sponsor that will just, you know, continually help us keep this program running. And I know that's going to come because I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So I know it's going to come. And I know that I can build this program to keep it last, to make it.
Well, you got to get as many people involved as you can. It sounds like you're doing already. I got to go back to me now. I play golf. I shouldn't tell you this, but I play golf Monday, Tuesdays, and Thursdays. I love to golf, love to golf. But one day I'm out there golfing and I talked to the guy that runs a program. I said, you know, I'm going to try to help some kids during Thanksgiving. It's too bad we can't, you know, get some food and maybe you can help me. He said, oh, wow, what a great idea. So we finished. Time I went up there, he made an announcement, okay, I want everybody bringing in cans of food. And so all these golfers, oh, yeah, they did it for like 2 months, mm-hmm. you know. They just kept bringing mm-hmm. food in, and I kept mm-hmm. taking it. So, but it's a lot. It just makes you feel good to help people.
It does.
You know, I've heard this so many times, a little act of kindness goes a long ways, mm-hmm. and it'll come back to you, too. So, you know, God's always looking at you, say, hey, is he doing anything down there that I'm watching you. You better be doing something down there. So, now, I understand you're also the chairperson to Rocks Incorporated. Tell our audience about that. What's the mission there?
So Rocks is a fantastic organization. It's a U.S. Army program that's mentorship. You know, everybody needs a little help. When you're a junior officer or a young civilian in the Army, you know, how do you plan that next step?